We learned that the Mishnah and Yudam and Beis, Kol Ashtar, Soel Makor Shal Nachrim, Aho Pisha Chesmei Mavdik Yochav and Makshirim. Why are they Kshirim? So the Gemara says, because we have an Umdin in the Muchaf, we have such a strong Umdin that the Arkois will never sign on their official stationery. They would never write such a document. From the fact that the government wrote such a document, that's a simon that it really happened. This umdina that you might see mammon, you have a shtar halva, you might see mammon based on an umdina. We have a klal in ochem a mammon achar haroiv. So how can we rely on that? So Rabbi Akivega has an etshuva. If it's such an extremely strong roiv that the miut against it is only miuter and miuter, even Rav Meir like chayish lemiuter. The Gemara had in the first daf in Gittin. Meir chayish lemiuter is only if you have a significant miut against it. But if it's only miuter and miuter, then lo chayish Rav Meir. Kibbeg has a whole cheshbon in a tshuva. Why such a strong rov, 98% rov, you can make moitzi moment based on it? Why? Because the Tosis in Bava Kamma, he asks a kash in the first daf in Haminiach, how can it be that you can take a person's life based on a rov? Rov is good, but then in the fashas, the Gemara says you give a death penalty based on a rov, and you can't put moitzi moment based on a rov. So Tosis gives up a strange answer. Tosis says, when a person is holding on to money, there's a concept of muchzok, and we say smoch miyuta lachazok erisa le'ruba. It's strange, because smoch miyuta lachazok in the Gemara usually means when there's a chazok or kamaisa. This is mixing in two different words of chazok. They're talking about muchzok, the one is muchzok on the moment, and then they say that's why you say smoch miyuta lachazok. Smoch miyuta lachazok we don't pascan like. Smoch miyuta lachazok is in the end of Kiddushin, in the end of Chulin, that pevav, it's a machlekes ramein achachamim. Meir chayish lemiyuta. Meir holds that the Gemara has an expression. There's machloke satanoim. What does the pasuk mean when it says in the Torah racharav lahatas? Do you follow whatever the likelihood is, whatever the rov is? Do you say the miyut is kemanda leisei domi? Miyut is considered as if it doesn't exist. No, miyut kemanda isei domi. But the halacha says that you go baser rov. It's a funny hakir. What's the shaila? Whether miyut kemanda isei the miyut kemanda leisei domi? So the Gemara says, that's the machlekes Rameh and the Chachamim. Rameh holds chashin lemiyuta. The Chachamim hold like chashin lemiyuta. Rameh holds, whenever it's possible, you should be choshish for the miyut. What's the original machlekes Rameh and the Chachamim? Whether a cotton can do yibum or not. Cotton can do yibum. We don't know cotton or ktana. Let's say if the man who died, man dies leaving no children, and his wife needs chalitza because he left no descendants. So what if the wife, who's the almana, is a ktana? So you don't know yet. She may turn out to be an islander. Or the surviving brother is a kotna. He may turn out to be a soris. We don't know till, you really can't tell till the age of 20 whether the person is a soris or an islander. So the chachamim say, kotna ktana amyabim. You don't have to be choshish for soris and islanders. It's so far-fetched. And there says, chashin al-miyuta. I don't know. I don't know medicine. I would have assumed that Saras and Islanders is a miyuta de miyuta. But the Gemara assumes not so. The Gemara says, even Rav Meir is like chayish le miyuta de miyuta. And he is the original member of Rav Meir, that he holds chashin le miyuta is by Saras and Islanders. So the 2 days in Tosis, whether Rav Meir shita, Rav Meir chayish le miyuta, is that a din deraisa or is that a din derabbanan? Tosis in Chulin is not sure whether Rav Meir's din is deraisa or derabbanan. But the Gemara says that the principle that it's based on for sure is a principle deraisa. The principle is Rav Meir holds miyut kemanda isei domi. Torah says you ignore the miyut, even though it's there, staring you in the eyes. And the Chacham says miyut kemanda leisei domi. It sounds very strange. Well, what are they fighting about? What miyut kemanda isei domi? Miyut kemanda leisei domi. L'chor, it sounds like it's a machlekes. A meyo holds miyut kemanda isei domi means that roiv is not a biru. Roiv is only a din hanhoga. Like chazok is only a din hanhoga. Chazok is not, chazok for sure is not a biru. Taisa points out in Chulin, sometimes you follow Chazoke where you have a tie to disaster. So it's impossible that it should be like that. And nonetheless, that's halacha, that you follow Chazoke. So the shaila is, that's l'chor the machlek zameir and the rabban. That's how the Pnei Yeshua writes in Ksubis, in the country of Sachman. Rameh holds that miyut is kemanda isei domi, that you can't say that roiv is a bira, unless it's a miyut and a miyut, if it's 98%. So such an insignificant miyut, that's a bira. But anything less than that, it's domi. 90%, 85%, something like that. That's not a biru. That's not sufficient biru. That's only a din hanhoga. And the Chachamim hold not a miyut kemanda leisei domi, that roiv is a biru. Roiv is a biru. That's why you consider it as if the miyut weren't there. So the Gemara says that according to Rav Meir, who holds that miut kemandi isay dami, what does it mean that Reib is only a din hanhaga? So what do you do when you have a Reib and a Chazaka pulling in opposite directions? Ruba v'chazaka. So it's shkulim. You don't know what to do, shkulim. According to the Rabbanon, it's not going to be shkulim. Miut kemandi leisay dami. So the Reib is a birur. So if you have a birur, so the din of Chazaka loses out. Chazaka is only had to be noig when you don't know what the facts are. But if you have a Reib, the Reib is a birur. So whenever you know what the facts are, so Chazaka disappears. So that's what the Gemara calls smoch miut ala hazaka, the Israelei ruba. What do you do when you have a roiv kineged a hazaka? So Meir says that it's shkulim, and the Chachamim say that it's not shkulim. The Chachamim say that the roiv beats out the hazaka. So Tosis writes that ein holcha mamon achar haroiv, he can't be moitzi mamon based. That's machlekes Rabbi Shmuel. Well, the roiv is good to be moitzi mamon, and not so the accepted psak halacha and the Gemara Ksubis and Baba Basra. So we paskin that ain't halcha b'mamon achar harav. You cannot be mitzi mamon based on rav. So Tosfos says, why not? Because it's a ruba v'chazaka. They contradict each other. It's not really correct. It's not a rav against the chazaka. It's a rav against the muchzok. That's what Tosfos words. So the shaila is, but we don't paskin like Rav Meir. Rav Meir holds ruba v'chazaka shkulim. We don't paskin like Rav Meir. We paskin ruba v'chazaka, ruba adiv. So what did Tosfos explain over here? That the reason why you can't be moitzi mamon from a muchzak based on a roiv, because ruba v'chazak ashkulim, but that's not the accepted opinion. So the Prima Gadim suggests based on that Tosfos, maybe the whole din of ein halcha mamon achar haroiv is only midi rabbanon. It's a difficult Tosfos, a difficult Tosfos. We don't know exactly what Tosfos is driving at. Smoch miut ala chazak of Yisrael eruv. But that's not the accepted opinion. That's Rav Meir's sheet. So that's what Rabbi Kiveger points out, that since Rabbi Kivega in the Tshuvas Tinyona, he says, since the whole din of Ein Halchem Mamon Achar HaRoiv, he can't be Moitzi Mamon based on a Roiv, is based on, according to that Tosfos and Bava Kamma, is based on the Svara that the Ruba V'Chazaka, Ashkulim, that's what the Tosfos Gemara calls it, Smoch Miut Al HaChazaka, Yisraelei Ruba, and the Gemara says that according, that's Rav Meir Shita. Rav Meir Shita doesn't apply whenever it's a miut and a miuto. So this kalala in Holcha Mamam and Achar HaRoiv wouldn't apply either whenever the roiv is such a strong roiv. 98% roiv and the miut against it is only miut and a miuto. That's why Rabbi Kivega arrived at that conclusion. That the explanation that he gives is very difficult. It comes out that Tosfos is saying that we pass like Rav Meir. By Mamam we pass like Rav Meir. Why should that be so? Anyway, so you can say over here that the roiv is such as how can you be moitzi mamon based on this ruba deleisa kamon hashtaras ha'olam akor shanochrim? It's an umdir in the muchach that it must be true. Ilo yav zuzi kamala havimar nafshai v'kasman leishtar. They wouldn't have written such a star. It's a right that the halvor really happened. How are you moitzi mamon based on roiv? So it could be that it's such a strong roiv that it's only a miyuta and a miyuta against it. Could be. Or you could say like Tosfos says, Tosfos and Aran say that this whole din kol ashtar so elam akol shenochem yemoitzi mamon is only a takonim de rabbonim. On the level of the rice, a taka does not work. Why? Because it's only a roiv, and you can't be moitzi mamon based on a roiv. And if you say like that, then it'll be miyushiv the kasha that we mentioned last week. I mentioned this sefer Shailos HaTshuvos that Judge Hornblass gave me by his great uncle, that he quotes a kasha from the Achronim that many of the poskim write that just like we assume it must be that it really happened, it's really true. So you might see mamon based on that. So if the war department sends the woman a letter that her husband was killed in the army, so she's allowed to remarry based on that, that's a bira gomer, just like it's a bira gomer by Dini Mamon, so it's a bira gomer by Yisav Ehetu as well. So he quotes the kasha that other Achrenim ask. What do you mean? By Tosfos and Neran say that this Mishnah, Kol Ashtar Zolam HaKol Shanochem, is a takona de rabbonon. On the level of the rice, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. So how does it work if it's a takona de rabbonon? All takonas de rabbonon, the yeri of din mamon, is work based on the principle of hefke bezna hefke. Fine, bezna has a right to be mafke mamon when it comes to din mamon. How are they going to explain how the woman is permitted to remarry? It's the chanisa of leisinov. It's isa v'heter. So how can you ain't korach b'yad chachamim? Unless you're going to say Afkin Rabbani Kedusha Minei, so it doesn't say in the Gemara. That it should say in the Gemara Afkin Rabbani Kedusha Minei. You have in a few places, the Gemara says. Here the Achronim are being Mishair on their own. They say just like it's a good roiv to be Moitzi Mamon, so too it's a good roiv to be Matir the Yesh Yisish Lashim. So it could be that the only reason why Tosfos and the Ran said that it's only by the Rabbanan because it's a roi, but ain't hochma mammon achar haroi. We can't be mighty mammon based on a roi, but roi would be good to be matar and agun. Could be that that's what they had in mind. The Achareinim Epis, the ones who came up with this head, they didn't explain fully why they think that it's daimim and daimim. Why do they think that it's so parallel? Anyway, so the Mishnah has this clout. We have Tosis and Niran say it's only a takana de Rabbanim and a Torah. It doesn't work. Ashtaras Olam HaKol Shanochrim, it's a Ruba de Leisa Kamon, that this Havar really took place, or that the Mechiras HaSod really took place. So therefore, we rely on what the Shtar HaOlam HaKol says, on what the document says. But the Gemara, and the only two exceptions to the rule are Gita Noshim Shachuri Avarim, because Inik Siba Lushmo, and the Goyim who signed it, of course it's no good. Taisa gave the four reasons, the top Taisa on Testament base. If you have a get signed by Nochrim, therefore, time and why it's not good. So the Gemara points out that from the Mishnah it would appear that Kol Ashtar Soelim HaKol Shanochrim, even a Shtar Matana is also good if it's only about Kol Shanochrim. The only exceptions to the rule are the two, the get, the Isha, and the Shichur Rebbe Kanani, because the Nik Zivu Lishma. But the Shtar Matana would be good. So the Gemara is bothered with the question, how can it be the Shtar Matana is good? Shouldn't it be Chaspa B'Alma? The expression Chaspa B'Alma means, isn't it a piece of clay? They write a shtar on a piece of parchment that's any yochel his dive. You write on a piece of clay, it's a piece of junk, it's nothing with nothing, garnish with garnish. So Gemara asks, let it be considered chaspa bi'alma. So Gemara gives two answers. Either the first answer is oma shmul dina machus adina, the second answer is that you taka right. Chutz miki gitei noshim. Any shtar kinyan would not be valid if it's a shtar matana, would not be valid if it's ole b'arkol shal noshim. So it's why did the Gemara have two versions, two answers, a major machlokes in the Gemara? Why did the Gemara have two versions? As if there's an opinion that doesn't accept Dina the Machusa Dina. Dina Machusa is the accepted halacha.
Are there some cases Dina Machusa Dina does not apply?
Yes, there are cases. Yeah, so that's what we spoke about at length. So the original Dina of Dina Machusa Dina, as it appears in the other Gemaras, here you have the sources and the end of Bava Kama and in the Dorim. But the comment in the Dorm, the Gemara is talking about the right of the government to levy taxes. The Gemara says in the end of Bava Kama, a raya that dina machus adina is the fact that the government confiscates the property and they make a highway and everybody rides on the highway. If the government doesn't have the right to confiscate property to make highways there, so we who go on the highway should be in violation of Geneva. Yeah, we never heard that's it. In Eretz Yisrael, there are those in Turakarta who say that the government is a bunch of pirates in Eretz Yisrael. It's the worst government in the history of the world, and it's so corrupt and it's so dishonest that the Dina Machus Adina doesn't apply. It's not a Malchus. The Rishonim have an expression, Dina the Malchus Adina, but not Chamsanusa the Malchus. If they're doing Gnevis Shizachin, so it doesn't apply. So if people really want to be consistent, if you hold that the government is a bunch of pirates, and they don't have the status of Dina Machus Adina. So according to the Gemara in the end of Bava Kama, you shouldn't be allowed to ride on any highways that were paid by that government because all the highways are B'Gneva. You haven't heard that they're Machmer. They're Machmer, the other thing though, they're Machmer, the Shach writes in Hilchas Ribis that there are different opinions in the end of Choshe Mishpat and Simen Shin Samach Tes. There's a big fat Ramah where the Ramah gives different views about Dina Machus Adina, to what extent does it apply, to what extent does the government have the right to levy taxes and so on. So the Shach writes in Chosh Mishpat and Hilchas Ribis, but there's one prat that for sure everybody agrees that you say Dina Machus Adina, namely to mint coins. The halacha sometimes distinguishes between Kesef and Shoveh Kesef. Usually we say Shoveh Kesef, Dina Ke Kesef. You Mekadosh and Isha, you give a ring. A ring is Betorah Shoveh Kesef. The Ramah quotes that from the Tikkun Izoya, that the minig is when you Mekadosh and Isha, you give a ring. I think the Tikkun Izoya says it based on yesterday's parsha. When Tamar was making believe she was a Kadesha, so Yehuda wanted to give her a Nestan Zaina. So she wanted a Gidi. So he said, he doesn't have a Gidi right now. So she asked for a Mashkin. So she said, give me Chosamcha Psilcha Matcha Shebiadecha. So Chosamcha usually means a signet ring, a tabas. That's how the Targum Onkel says. Chosamcha says Iskisach. Iskisach is a ring. So the Tikkun Ezar says on that pasuk that she was really asking for a kesef kiddushin. She really wanted to get married. So he gave her a ring. He didn't give her the shem kiddushin. What exactly that? What's the Tikkun Ezar driving at? I don't know. So that's what the Ramah quotes that in Ebenezer. The minig is in Mekadesh with a tabas. Yeah. Why is a tabas good? Because kesef is lav dafke kesef. Shove kesef is dinik kesef. You don't have to give dafke kesh. There are three cases, though, where the halacha requires dafke kesef. That's the Gemara in the end of Choris. On daf nun aleph, the Gemara says, by pidyon ma'aseh sheni, you need kesef sheyesh olav tzura. Because it says, v'tzarta kesef biyodecha. By machza shekel, the price it requires, and the pashtus is at these two amen ha-Torah. Machza shekel, you only yotze if you give kesef mamish. And then the third din, Rashi says, is clearly a din derabbanan, that you can only purchase korban oilas riyo when you come to Yerushalayim on Pesach Shavuot Sukkos. On Sholosh Ugolim, everybody has to participate in oilas riyo. So when you purchase the oilas riyo, you have to buy dafke with kesef, not with shove kesef. So Rashi quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi that that's only a din derabbanan, but the first two are a din deraisa. So what's the definition of kesef as opposed to shove kesef? So the Shach writes in Choshen Mishpat, he quotes a marshal in Yamshel Shloime, that kesef means legal tender. If the government declares that this should be acceptable for all debts, if I owe you money and you insist I should pay you a dafke in $100 bills, and the halacha says I can pay you in singles, I can pay you in $1,000 bills, I can pay you in pennies, I give you sacks of pennies and also pay. Whatever the government declares as legal tender, so that's considered kesef. And everything else is considered shove kesef. So the Shach says that everybody agrees, that's dina the machlus adina. That the government only has a right either to mint coins or to declare. In the days of the Gemara, the government didn't mint the coins. The government would supervise the minting of coins by private people, and it has certain rules and regulations. What they would allow them to put their stamp of approval on. So that has the status of kesef. So that everybody agrees that the dina machlus adina applies when you get to determining what's considered kesef, what's considered shove kesef. There are other Gemaras where the Gemara talks about kesef versus shove kesef. Another Gemara in the end of Bava Kamma. The Gemara that everyone agrees also that dina machlus adina no machlokes, that's when you get to collecting taxes. That everyone agrees. Why is that so? So that there's a famous run in the Dortmund, Daf Chav Ches. Amud Aleph, Masoros HaShas refers it to the Gemaras where Shmuel's memory is quoted. So the Ran in the Dorm quotes a sheet of the Balei HaTosfos that Dina the Malchus Adina, when it gets to collecting taxes, is based on rent. That if I live in your apartment, so I live in your house, so you have a right. I live in your hotel, you have a right to charge rent. So whenever you live in any given country, so the Balei HaTosfos say the land of that country belongs to the government. The land of America belongs to the American government. The land of Great Britain belongs to the British government. The land of France belongs to the French government. The land of Eretz Yisrael belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kili Kol Haaretz. I would have said Kili Kol Haaretz means the whole globe. The whole world belongs to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the Rishonim HaChumash, the Sfarno, and others say no. Kili Kol Haaretz refers to Eretz Yisrael because that's in the context of giving back a sodeh b'shnas hayayvel. Adinim only apply in Eretz Yisrael. So he says, so I would have said still, it means I own the whole world, so I have a right to dictate terms and dig amamins. So the Sfarno on the other Mefarshim is no, Kili Kol Haaretz goes on Eretz Yisrael. The Ribbono Shel Olam owns Eretz Yisrael. So that's what the Balei HaTosfos say. If you live in France, you live in England, you live in the United States, so the government has a right to charge you rent. You want to stay here, they have a right to charge you rent. So they can charge whatever they want. So instead of charging $100 a day or $1,000 a month, whatever, just to stay in the country, so they charge income tax, so they charge whatever taxes they want. The taxes are simply a form of rent. However, those who live in Eretz, Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael, the Ribbono Shel Olam owns Eretz Yisrael. The government doesn't own it. So the Ribbono Shel Olam encourages all the Jews to live in Eretz Yisrael b'chinam. We all have a right to live there for nothing. So no government in Eretz Yisrael, neither Jewish government nor non-Jewish government, has a right to charge any rent of any Jew who lives in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, you don't have to pay tax in Eretz Yisrael. That's what the Ran says in the name of the Balei HaTosfos. So we just pointed out that this opinion of the Balei HaTosfos that's quoted by the Ran, a lot of people today rely on that Ran, b'shem Balei HaTosfos. So the Pashto says that this is not only not accepted, it's not even mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. In the Shulchan Aruch, they quote verbatim the Lashon HaRambam, that not only does the Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael have a right to charge taxes, even a non-Jewish government anywhere in the world has a right to charge taxes. You see that the Ikar Din of Din and Machusa with respect to charging taxes, Bedafka applies in Eretz Yisrael. Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael does have a right to charge taxes. What is it based on? If it's not based on this theory of rent, so what is it based on? Why does the government have the right to charge taxes? So the Vilna Goyen and the Bir Agron, Choshen Mishpot, writes the same as the Meiri. He didn't have a Meiri, but the Meiri has the same. that this is Shmuel who says Dina Machus Dina, this is Shmuel Lushita Soy. The Gemara in the second parak in Sanhedrin has a machlekes Rabbi Shmuel regarding the Parshas HaMelech and Sefer Shmuel. Shmuel was an Ovi and he was running the land. He was running the government of Eretz Israel in the days of the Shoftim. So Shmuel was a Navi. So the people asked Shmuel a Navi, he should appoint a king. So he felt very hurt. What's wrong with the way I'm running the country? You don't like it. You're not satisfied. And he starts to warn them, if you're going to have a king, he's going to charge you taxes. He's going to take your sons as workers for him to build his palace. He's going to take your daughters as pilakshim. Take your daughters as rakochas for tabachas to work in his kitchen and to cook and to do all kinds of crazy things. He's trying to deter the people from having a king. And the people keep on insisting they want a king. So Farfan says, okay, so I'll appoint a king. And he's told to appoint Shaul HaMelech. So the Gemara has a machlekes Rabbi Shmuel regarding all of the warnings that Shmuel HaNavi gave Bnei Yisrael. Kol HaMav Parshas Melech. That Parsha in Sefer Shmuel is referred to by the Gemara as Parshas HaMelech. So Rabbi is of the opinion that Kol HaMav Parshas Melech Ein HaMelech Mutabo. These are evils of the king that he's not entitled to do. These are all illegitimate. And the accepted opinion is like Shmuel. Kol HaMav Parshas Melech Melech Mutabo. It is Mutab. So that's what the Vilna Gaon writes, and the Meiri writes that this is Shmuel speaking l'shitasoi. Shmuel is the one who said over there in Sanhedrin in Perek Sheni, Kolam Parshas Melech Melech Mutabon. One of the things in the Parshas HaMelech is that the Melech has a right to levy taxes. So that's why Shmuel says that Dinan Machus Adina with respect to levying taxes. Bizman Azeh, the Pashto says that it's a whole different story. Bizman HaGemara, when they would levy taxes, so the taxes were mainly just to enrich the king, to enrich the government. And nonetheless, the halacha says, Adina Machus Adina. And if you're not going to pay your taxes, so from whom are you stealing? From the Nochri. So that's an issue of Gezel Akum. Gezel Akum is Osir. The Gemara has a Machlekes, was the Raisa, the Rabbanon. But it's not exactly Gezel Akum, this is Havkos Halva Osir. You're not paying the taxes that you owe the king. So there's more room to be Mekel on Havkos Halva Osir. So you look in the Mishlah Melech and the Bir Agro regarding not paying taxes. So they have a pilpul. Maybe it's only on the level of Havkos Havos, maybe it's not so bad. The accepted opinion is that it is bad, that you have to pay your taxes. But there were those Achrayim who thought that maybe it's only Havkos Havos. So the Baal HaTanya says, no, it's worse than Havkos Havos, because he resurrects the Ran B'Shem Baalei HaTosfot, that is B'Toras Ren. Since you got to pay taxes B'Toras Ren, so if I sneak into your hotel and I sleep there overnight and I don't pay, so that's Geneva Bikumbe. I say that's not Havkos Havasa. If I go to a store and I steal merchandise and I don't pay, that's Geneva. Why is it Geneva? Everything is for sale. The only thing is I didn't pay. So it's Havkos Havasa. The answer is no. But I stole the merchandise in this store. So that's Geneva. So if I sneak into the window in your hotel and I sleep there overnight and I sneak out and I don't pay, that's Geneva. That's not Havkos Havasa. So that's what the Baal HaTanya says. Whoever doesn't pay rent, it's not Havkos Havasa. It's Geneva, because the rent is B'Toiras, the rent is the taxes of B'Toiras rent. So the one who lives in the country is stealing from the government. So whatever it used to be, whatever the Hezbo used to be with respect to paying taxes, that only applied years ago, that the main purpose of the taxation was in order to enrich the government. But Bizman Hazeh, in almost all the countries, the money doesn't go to enrich the government. The president is entitled. The president suffers a lot of bizyonos. The president of the United States, no one ever threw shoes at me. So the president is entitled to a salary. The Congress is entitled, everyone, the governor, everyone is entitled to a salary. They're doing a job. They're doing a good job, bad job, okay. So we have to warn them. If they're not doing a good job, we won't re-elect them. We'll impeach them. So we give them tochach, okay. So you have to pay people their salaries. So mainly the collection of taxes today simply to pay for the budget. The government, the municipal government takes care of certain things, and the state government and the federal government, different governments take care of different things. The mail delivery and the water purification and the garbage collection and the army to protect the country, and the museums and education, everything that the country does. So all of the money that they raise in taxes is in order to pay for all of the services that they give. So it's basically a din of shutfus. That's what it says in Choshe Mishpat. It says that if the community gets together and they decide they want to make a mikveh, they want to make a beis haknesses, or forget about, these are religious things, forget about mikveh and beis haknesses, religious people. They want to have, they want to pave a highway. And one guy says, I'm not interested in any highways. I like it the way it used to be with dirt roads, with big mud puddles in the winter time when it rains. He likes it the way it used to be in the free digaders. He doesn't, let's say they want to have public education. He says, I'm not for public education. I have to pay for my children's education in yeshiva. I don't want to pay for public education. So you go basarayv. Whenever you have all the people in the country are considered like shutvim. If we choose to live in this country, we live in this city, we live in this state, so we all have the status of shutvim. So what if shutvim join together? Each one puts in $100,000 and they make an automobile company. Or they make a shoe factory. They may manufacture shoes, they sell ties, whatever they do. And then they have a shareholders meeting every so often, and most of the shutvim decide that they want to expand the business and they want to open a branch somewhere else. And so because the majority of them want to expand the business, want to open another office somewhere, another shop somewhere, so this year they're not going to give any dividends. They're not going to give any revachim to all of the shareholders. Adarabah, they want everyone not to take any profits, to kick in more money into the business, not to expand it, and the end will be that they'll make more money. They make much more money. So it says in Choshen Mishpat that whenever you have shutvim and the shutvim want to expand the business, if it's something reasonable, stop. They're in the shoe business, they join together shoes, now they're doing so well, they want to open up a hat business. So the guy, the miut, has the right to say, I'm not interested in the hat business. I became a shutvim for shoe business, not for hat business. But if they want to expand the shoe business to go weiter, then it's not an unreasonable request. So then the rav can be kind for the miut to go along. And if the miut isn't happy with that, so let him sell his shares to someone else, either to one of the other shutvim or to an outside person who will go along with this with these conditions. And in Shulchan Aruch, they have all of the tzorche hatzibur, all of the needs of the community. The rabbim can be kind for the miut because of the b'torah shutvim. So the Pashto says that b'zman hazeh we consider all the people who live in the same city and all the people who live in the same state and all the people who live in the same country as if the shutvim on three different levels, on the municipal level, on the state level, on the national level, on the federal level, because they're shutvim in different things, because of the mail delivery and so on and so forth.
Does it matter if the shutvim are non-Jews and Jews? Does it matter in the
law? No, same thing. We have all the time shutvim, Jews and non-Jews in businesses and companies, yeah. And then it says in the Tosefta, the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Tosefta, I think it's the Tosefta and Bava Basra, that if there's a disagreement among the shareholders of the company, so you go Basra Raif, Mistama the Raif of the shares. One guy owns 95% of the business, so he has 95 votes. The other guy only owns 5% of the business, he has 5% of the votes. Okay. So it says you go Basra Raif, and the Vilna Gaon quotes, what's the marker? The same Pasuk in Chumash. Acharam Lahatas that tells you go Basaroiv when there's a vote by the Dayonim, so the same pasuk applies to the Shutvim as well. You go Basaroiv. Yeah. So the way taxes are set up today, the taxes are not really to enrich the President of the United States. He's entitled to his salary. There are people in the United States who make more salary than he does. He gets a salary based on whatever the Congress determines is fit. Everybody is entitled to a salary. Whoever's doing work is entitled to the salary if they're doing a decent job. So the people who don't pay taxes today is no longer a shayla of hafkos halvosa gezelakom, you're stealing for the nochrim. Hafkos halvosa, is it hafkos halvosa? No, it's gezel Yisrael. You're stealing from all the other Jews. Unless all the Jews are going to make up their mind, none of us are going to pay taxes. So then the only ones that the burden of taxes is only going to be on the shoulders of the non-Jews. So then you're not stealing from any of the Jews. That's still ridiculous. Of course there are Jews. There's still Jews who do pay taxes. So whoever doesn't pay taxes is Zoyver and Gezel from the other Shutvim. Many of the other Shutvim are Jewish. And Eretz Yisrael also, it's not shach to say that Bizman is there, you don't have to pay taxes. The Ran, B'Shem Bale Atesis, applied years, maybe we paskin against the whole Ran. It's not even mentioned, doesn't even have honorable mention in Shulchan Aruch. They didn't even mention that there was such an opinion that we don't paskin like. But even that Ram Hashem Balei Tais doesn't apply to Zman Hazeh Eretz Yisrael. Zman Hazeh Eretz Yisrael, of course, it's Gezel Yisrael. He's stealing the money from all the other people. It's Shutvim. We're all Shutvim in a country, and the country gives services, and the local municipal government gives services. So you have to pay for the services. Whoever doesn't pay taxes, making the other Shutvim pay more tax. That's Gezel. So this is a this inyan of dina de machus adina. There's one inyan of minting coins, dina machus. There's another that everybody agrees to. That's the definition of kesa versus shavu kesa. That's why the Turekarta attack consistent. The Turekarta and Eitzel don't recognize the government, so when they're paid in Maishashen, they will not use Israeli coins. They'll use shillings. Because Chazanish says that you're paid in Maishashen on a shilling. Chazanish says if it was written before 1948, so of course you're paid on shillings. It was a British government. Yeah. But if it were true that the government in Eretz is not a valid government, so then you can't. It's not legal tender. So then there would be no concept of kesef in Eretz Yisrael. It would only be shavu kesef. So it wouldn't be able to pay the ma'aser
she'ni. Is paper money considered kesef or shavu kesef? Do we put a ma'aser she'ni on paper money or not?
Paper money, the Pesachei Tshuva in several places quotes that there's a contradiction in the Tshuvas of the Chasam Sofer, where the paper money is dino kikesef, because it says legal tender, or it's considered like shtaris, because it's not really gufa mamon.
Yeah, back then, paper money was very different. Back then, theory had a value in gold or silver or whatever it is. Now it's just...
Right. So even then, there's a question in the Chasam Sofer, where the paper money is considered kesef or shtar. Rabbi Yitzchak paskin that it is considered kesef. He says legal tender is considered kesef. That's the definition of kesef. There's a stir in the tshuva of the Chasam Sofer. So the minig is that we don't use it for pidyon ma'aser she'ni. But let's say ein nishboim min haTorah, there's no shvo deraisa on karka avodah mishtoris. So if I say that I lent you $100 in cash, in dollar bills, and you say that you only borrowed 50. And the other 50 you never borrowed, or that you paid back 50, and you only owe me 50, you might have been mikzas. So would there be a shvur deraisa or not? So there the Pesachei Tshuva says that we assume that would be a shvur deraisa. It wouldn't only be a shvur derabanan. Because that's not called the Einish Bayim al Hashtor. There, when you get to shvur deraisa, it's considered kesef. And in Dinim Mamanis area, in Dinim Mamanis, we assume that paper money is kesef. In Issa the Heter area, when you get to Pidyon HaBen, you can't do Pidyon HaBen on shtoris, and when you get to pidyon ma'aser she'ni that you need dafke kesef and not shavu kesef. So in the area of Issa v'Heter, we treat the paper money as if it were shtoris. But when you get to dinim mamonis, we treat paper money as kesef mamish. It's a difficult chiluk. The pashtus is like Rabbi Yitzchak Hanan said. The pashtus is as legal tender should be considered kesef. So these are two areas of Dina Machusa that everybody agrees to. The government has a right to levy taxes. That's what Shmuel said. That's in the Gemara and a few other places. Bavakam and Dorim. And the Shach says this is Muskam L'chaladeh. So Dina Machusa Dina, the government has the right to determine what's legal tender. They have the right to determine Matbeis. Then there's another area of Dina Machusa that's a big Machloikis and Chashim Mishpat. Does the government have the of any given country, the Goyish government, do they have the right to institute chukim and mishpatim, a whole legal system? One of the sheva mitzvahs b'nerach is dinim, so they have to have some legal system. So the Ramban al Torah Pashas Vayishlach claims that the dinim that applies to the bnei noach are the olach of talar avos nezikin. That's the lashon that the Ramban writes. That's the Gemara in the first Mishnah. Baba Kama has arba avos nezikin hein. And then the Gemara quotes a brisa of Rab Chiya that the Yud Gimel Avos Nezikin, and then they have a brisa of Rab Oshia that the Chof Talad Avos Nezikin, the 24 Avos Nezikin. So Ramban says the Nochem Amuchiyev to observe all the dinim of the Chof Talad Avos Nezikin. So we just pointed out, Lachar, that's a little bit of a guzma. You can't say Chof Talad Avos Nezikin because there is a Gemara in Sanhedrin where the Gemara says that B'mora Nitztavu Al Adinim, on the way after Yitzias Mitzrayim, before the Jewish people came to Har Sinai. 7 weeks later, at the end of Sfira Saima, they were given Kabbalah Sater at Har Sinai. So in the middle of the Sfira Saima period, they stopped off in Mora, and the Pasuk says, Sham, Sam Lachoka Mishpat, Visham Nisa HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Jewish people Choka Mishpat. He gave them all the dinim. So the Gemara said, what do you mean dinim? Dinim is from the Sheva Mitzvahs B'Nenayach. That wasn't given something new, that was given centuries earlier, in the days of Adam Arishan. Days of Nerech, they had the Halach of dinim. So the Gemara says, "La nitzvah elo leknas," that by Bnei Noach you only have momenis, you don't have knas. By Bnei Yisrael, we were given knosses, kefil dalad vei, oynis mafatam oytzis shemer. We were given the knosses prior to Maimon Hasina. We were given the concept of knas was already given in Mor. So the Gemara is beferish that the knas doesn't apply to the Bnei Noach. So the Ramban writes on Chumis that all the Chavtala Ravas Nezik and apply to the Bnei Noach. So that's a little bit inaccurate, L'chayr, that the Ramban would have to agree, it's the Chabafei Rishi Gemara, that Knas doesn't apply. But basically, that's what he's saying, that whatever it says in Chosh Mishpot is carried over to the Bnei Noach. That's what the Ramoa has in a tshuva. The Ramoa is also a very surprising tshuva. The Ramoa came to support his cousin, the Maharam Padua, who published a Rambam. And in order to publish, you have to lay out a lot of money. And you hope that you'll sell enough copies later on to regain all the money that you laid out, and then to make a few dollars extra. So the at that time, so the Rabbonim always used to make a cheirim, that no one is allowed to reprint this sefer within 3 years or 5 years. They would try to be mishar. How many years would it take till this person would sell enough copies of the sefer that, if it's his sefer, so no one else, I wrote a sefer chidush Torah. So no one else has a right to reprint my sefer. That's my sefer. Okay, that I understand. But the guy prints a Rambam, or he prints a Shas, or he prints a Tanakh. So he's not the Balabas. He didn't author the Chumash. I was told that the grandchildren of Rabbi Mendel Kasha thought for many years that he was the author of the Torah. It was on the first page in the Torah Shlema. It says, the Torah Shlema written by Mendel Kasha. So they thought he wrote the Torah, but he didn't. Yeah. So if a person prints a Tanakh, he prints a Mishnah, he prints a Gemara, so what right does he have to have a copyright? So the answer is, they used to make a cheirim years ago to make sure that no one else is going to be mafsid him. We want to give him enough time, 3 years, 5 years, whatever, you have to be Mishar. How long will it take him to sell enough copies to break even, and then to make a few extra dollars to encourage people that they should print Svarim? Because if people are going to lose a fortune on printing a sefer, so no one will want to lay out the money to print anything. So the Rabbanim made such a chem, no one is allowed to reprint the Rambam within a couple of years. A Nochri came along. Did the Nochri have to observe Arch HaRamim? A Nochri came along and he reprinted the Rambam, the same Rambam. And he was selling his Rambam. So the Maharam Padua said that the Ramoa should support him, his cousin the Ramoa should support him, and send out a letter to the public that no one's allowed to buy the Goy's Rambam until he sells out all of his copies, until he breaks even, until he makes a few extra dollars. That's what the cheirim is all about. And so the Shaila was, is this so? Is the Nochri bound to observe all the dinim of all of these dinim? So the Ramah has a whole tshuva, but basically he follows this Ramban al Torah, that by dinim we mean all the chavtalad ovis nezikin. And he says the Nochrim have to follow everything that it says in Chosh Mishpat, even the din of Chosh Mishpat that they quote from the Gemara in Bava Basra in the second Terek, where it says that a Talmud Chacham is naktina leishuka. The Gemara says if you have two people full of brushmen, they're selling toothpaste, they're selling combs, they're selling shaklin, whatever. So they come to town, and they both want to go sell, knock on the doors, go from door to door to sell the merchandise. So the din is if one of them is a Talmud Chacham and one is not a Talmud Chacham, so you first allow the Talmud Chacham to sell all the merchandise that he wants to sell, and you only allow the non-Talmud Chacham to sell after him. Why is that fair? Why don't we allow competition over here? Because if the Talmud Chacham is going to sell out all of his stuff easily, then when he's going to have extra time, he'll be able to learn during that time. The non-Talmud Chacham is not going to spend his time learning Bein Kol V'Kol. So we have no reason to say that he should have, the non-Talmud Chacham should have the right to sell till the Talmud Chacham makes all of his sales. So the Pashto says that this halacha and Aktina Leishuka, if they both came to town on the same boat and they both want to sell merchandise, so you have to let the Talmud Chacham sell first. That's only by Jewish people. If all the customers are Jewish people, so we have to support Lomdei Torah. You have to encourage people to learn Torah. We ourselves should learn Torah. We should support others who are learning Torah. But if you're talking about a non-Jew, the non-Jews are mechuyev to support Torah, l'chora not. So the Ramah says no, that this halacha of naktina leishuka, since it's mentioned in Chosh Mishpat, it really should have been printed in Yeruday in Hilchos Talmud Torah. Then you have Hilchos Talmid HaChachamim there. But it happens to be mentioned in Chosh Mishpat when they talk about the freedom to sell merchandise, the right to go into competition with others. So it says, if there's a Talmud Chacham and a Talmud Chacham, akinah leishuka, we let the Talmud Chacham sell his merchandise first. So the Rama says that since that din appears in Chosh Mishpat, so the din is binding on the non-Jews as well. That's very surprising, that din should apply to the non-Jews. Amar has other reasons. He has about 6-7 reasons why the Nochri is not allowed to sell his Rambam until after the Maran Padua sells his Rambam. Then he has another reason. It's because the Maran Padua has Hagos on the bottom of the page of the Rambam. If you look, they're very rare, hardly ever. On these two pages, the no Hagos. On this page, in Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel, there's one Hagos on the bottom. He corrects a word. Instead of Bito, it should say Beso. Here, there's a Hagos on the bottom that he tells you to look in the smag. Here, he tells you to look at another smag. Once in a long while, you have Hagos on the bottom of the page. Sometimes he'll tell you what the Tosfos Yontif says. Little Hagos on the bottom of the page. So the Hagos about the Tosfos Yontif that was added later. That's obviously not in the days. That's not in the days of the Ramah. It tells you to look on the tour. It tells you to look in the smart. A little Hagos on the bottom. So because the Maran Padua's Ramam had these Hagos, and the other the Goy's Ramam didn't have those Hagos, so the Ramah says that if you can get a sefer with Hagos, you're not allowed to buy the sefer without Hagos. That's a Gemara in the second parak in Ksubas. The Gemara says, Al Tashkin Bo Alecha Avlo, you're not allowed to keep a sefer Shena Muga around the house. Let's say you have a puzzle of sefer Torah. So you're going to leave it in the Yarn Kodesh. So that's what they usually do. They leave puzzle of sefer Torah in the Yarn Kodesh forever. And we only lay in from two or three sefer Torah, and the rest we just use for Hakofas on Simchas Torah. So the Gemara says, you're not allowed to leave a puzzle of sefer around because someone by mistake may start to lane from it. So we have a practice, we put the gartel on the outside, so we know which one is kosher and which one is puzzle. By us, there's no concern. But in the days of the Gemara, there was no way to make a siman on that everyone should know that that there's a mistake in the sefer Torah, they shouldn't start using it. So there is a din that you're not allowed to keep around the house the sefer Shena Muga. So the Ramah says, if you have a Rambam with Hagos and a Rambam without Hagos, you're not allowed to buy the Rambam without Hagos. It's considered a Sefer Shein Muga. It's a little bit questionable. That's called the Sefer Shein Muga, the Rambam without those, the one line on the bottom of the page. When we use a Rambam, we never look up those Marmakim. He tells you to look in the smag, tells you to look in the Torah, we never look in the Torah, we never look in the smag. Once in a while, he has a Hagos. Instead of the word Bito, it should say Beso. Okay, let's talk a Hagos. So once every 50 pages, that's called the Sefer Shena Muga, because his Ramam has a Hagor. Questionable. Anyway, he has a whole bunch of reasons why he thinks that the Nochri is not allowed to sell his Ramam till the Maran Padua sells out all of his Rambams. So the many Achrayim in Choshem Ishbad, many Rishonim Achrayim are of the opinion that the Nochrim have the right to institute their own system of Chukim and Mishpat, not like the Ramban Achumish. And not like this Chuvas or Amor, that they're bound to observe, they have to follow everything that it says in Chosh Mishpat. No, they have a right to institute their own system of laws, and the laws are binding. The only thing is that there, even if one assumes like that, and that's based on the principle of Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Erav, that one of their laws is Dinim. That's not based on Parshas HaMelech. That's based on the Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Erav. Dinim. Dinim requires that they should institute Chukim and Mishpatim, to keep law and order in the country. Yes, so even if you assume like that the Nochrim have that, the Nochri government has the right to institute Chukim and Mishpatim, that's the principle of Melech and Mishpat Yam and Eretz. The government is, the role of a government is to maintain law and order. They have a right to punish people for violating the laws. So even if you assume like that, the Pashtus is like that, this only applies when at least one of the parties is non-Jewish. All the parties involved are Jewish. Then you don't apply this principle of dinah the machus dinah. Then the law of the land does not apply. This is the Chuvas HaRashba that's quoted in Chosha Mishpat. If you're going to apply dinah the machus when all the parties involved are Jewish, so you can throw out the whole Gemara and the Zikin and the whole Chosha Mishpat, nothing applies anymore. So the answer is no. And that you see from the Gemara in the end of Bava Kama. The Gemara has a very strange braisa. Offhand, it looks strange. And the Rambam explains what the Bryce is driving at. The Bryce sounds like it says whenever a Jew and a non-Jew come for a court case in front of a Jewish court, so which legal system should the Jewish court follow? Should they follow Chosh Mishpat or should they follow secular law? If by using Jewish law the Jew will win, so then we use Jewish law. And if by using secular law the Jew will win, then we use secular law. So that's not fair. What kind of shtick is that? That you always favor the Jew in a din Torah? That's absolutely not fair. So the Rambam explains. He says the Gemara is talking about Nochri Oved Avodah Zarah comes for a court case. And Nochri Oved Avodah Zarah, we want to punish him for the fact that he's Oved Avodah Zarah. So that's why we say we're always gunning out to get him. Whichever legal system will be in favor of the Jew, we will follow that legal system. What if the Nochri is not an Oved Avodah Zarah? What if he's a, let's say, a Ger Toishov? He's a nice Nochri. So then you're not allowed to follow whichever is in the best interest of the Jewish people. So which system do you follow? So Rambam says, you follow Dina Machusa. Dina Machusa sets in automatically whenever one of the, in at least one out of her, at least when one of the parties is a non-Jew. Then Dina Machusa sets in automatically. If the both parties, all the parties involved are Jewish, then Dina Machusa does not apply. There is an exception to the rule here also, that sometimes Dina Machusa applies even if all of the parties involved are Jewish, so that's what we mentioned. That 70 years ago, there were Jewish landlords who had apartment houses, and the government had rent control laws that you're not allowed to charge too much for renting an apartment. So they would be careful only to rent their apartments to Jews, because they said Dina Machusa doesn't apply. There were Jewish bosses who owned factories, they owned shops, and then they would have Jewish workers work for them. And then the government had a law of minimum wages. You have to pay a minimum amount of money to the workers. So they said, Dina Machusa doesn't apply because all the people involved are Jewish. The boss and the workers are all Jewish. So we follow Chosha Mishpah. So Rav Henkin wrote a tshuva at that time that that's utterly ridiculous. That's a separate halach of Dina Machusa. That's based on that pasuk in Koheles. Melech b'mishpat yamen eretz v'ish tshumas yarseno. The role of the government is... That's a pasuk in Mishlei. What is that? In Koheles or Mishlei? I think it's a Mishlei. Melech b'mishpat. It's a pasuk in the Gemara. Melech b'mishpat yamen eretz. It's in the first perek in Sanhedrin. I think it's also quoted in Mishlei. It appears in Mishlei too. So the pasuk says that the role of the government is to maintain law and order. So if the government sees that the bosses are cheating the workers, that they're not paying them decent wages, or the landlords are charging outrageous rentals, or the grocery stores are charging too much for milk and for bread and for main food, if they're charging a fortune for candies, they don't buy candies. But if they're a basic necessity, so the government has the right and the obligation to make law and order, to keep law and order, to see that the people don't rip each other off. So those kind of takanas that they make, l'tayvus hamdina, that's binding even all the parties involved are Jewish. It's not called Dina Machusa. It's a different area. Different areas of Dina Machusa. There was in the days of Rabbi Yosef Karo, there was a young Talmid Chacham, and then he became more famous after Rabbi Yosef Karo passed away, the Maharit Sahalon. Maharit Sahalon lived in Tzfat, and he writes in his tshuvas, in one of his tshuvas, that he was sent by the Rabbanim in Tzfat. Most of the Rabbanim lived in Tzfat then at that time, the 1500s. And the minority lived in Yerushalayim. So he writes that he was sent to the Arab countries bordering on Eretz Yisrael to tell all of the Balabatim that they're making a mistake, that they follow Dina Machusa when it comes to Yerusha, and that's not right. When it comes to Yerusha, since all the parties involved are Jewish, Dina Machusa does not apply. You have to follow Jewish law. And if you want to give an equal share to your daughters as to your sons, or you want to give the Yerusha to your wife, so you have to figure out how to make such kinyanim. The Ramon Chosh Mishpat discusses how do you make such kinyanim. But it can't follow automatically. You can't just say, I leave in my will, I want to follow Dina Machusa. Dina Machusa doesn't apply whenever all the parties involved are Jewish. That's the reason that the Maharit Sahalon gives. That in Chosh Mishpat, they quote from the Shuvas HaRashba, whenever all the parties involved are Jewish, Dina Machusa doesn't apply. There's another reason, based on the Rambam. The Rambam writes that even though we have a rule, Masta Mashakasa Batura tonight Batla Maisa Kayam, but in Dini Mamanis there's a Machlekes Hatanaim, Rameh Rav Yudah, and we pass like Rav Yudah, they're called Tanai Shem Mamakayim. Any tonight that you make in Dini Mamanis is valid. What's an example? So in Shulchan Aruch they quote the example from the Rishalmi. A man marries a girl. Let's say in Eretz Yisrael now they have a lot of chalitzas. You have young men get married and then they're killed in the army. Rachmana Litzlan. They're killed in the army and then their wives don't have any children, so they need chalitza. So let's say a young man gets married and he says, Harei mekudeshes li, on the condition that if I die leaving no descendants, you shouldn't require any chalitza. So Yishalmi gives that as an example. Tonight, the marriage is chal. And the Tanai is not Chal. So even if he's going to die without having any children, the wife will still need Chalitza. So what if a person makes a Tanai Shebemamen? Let's say a man marries a girl, and Minatur, he's Mukhiv to support her. Let's say he's Chayv and Sherek Sus. He has to pay for her food and clothing and rental to have a roof over her head. And he makes a condition, on the condition, that she has no right to make him support her. So that's a machleik is satanayim. And we pass and call tanai shememam ekai. Masa mashkas of the term davish mememam and tanai kai. So the Gemara has a discussion. What about the Yerusha? So the Raman paskins. It's a Gemara Yeshnechem. Mishnah Gemara Yeshnechem. So the Rambam, what's the case? It's hard to imagine. What's the case? When man is about to die and he says, I'm only dying on the condition that my wife gets the whole Yerusha. And if she doesn't get the Yerusha, she doesn't want to die. Baal HaMavis is not agreeing to the deal. Baal HaMavis is taking his life anyway. So that's what the Baal HaMor discusses. In the end of the Ksuvah, what do you mean, Tanai and Yerusha? How can it make? A Tanai means you do a Maisa ala Tanai. I just get up one fine day and I say, I hereby declare, I don't want the laws of Yerusha to apply in my case. Tanai means that you make a Maisa ala Tanai. What Maisa is he doing? A Maisa of dying? He's not doing the Maisa of dying. And what are you going to say? He's still alive. He died. So the Baal HaMor works on that. What exactly does it mean? That's a major problem. He gives some kind of a pshat. So the Rambam writes, even though we have a rule, kol tanai shememam and kayim, masna mashkas v'tar b'davish memam and tanai kayim, but when it comes to Yerusha, the pasuk introducing the parish of Nachlas, at the end of Chumash Bamidbar, by the Benoist Slavchot, so it says, v'ayis azaz lachem l'chukas mishpat. So the Rambam quotes a drasha. We don't know where this drasha appears. That it says, even though Yerusha is a matter of dollars and cents, it's mishpat, elam mishpat, and mishtas off that means dinim amenes, but the Torah refers to it as chukas mishpat. Chukas mishpat, that is considered as if it were chukas, as if it were isa v'heta. We have a medrash agadol. We have a big fat sefer that's called medrash agadol that has the drasha in it. But it's usually assumed that the author of the medrash agadol took all of these drashas from the Rambam. So we don't know exactly. It's not that the Rambam took the drasha from the medrash agadol. So we don't know exactly where is the original source of this drasha that the Rambam has. But the Rambam writes like that in explaining the Gemara. Why is it that kol tanai shebemam and kayam and Yerusha is an exception to the rule? The answer is we treat Yerusha as if it were Issa v'heta. Even though the Chorot should only be Dina Mamanis, we treat it as if it were Issa v'heta. There's such a Taisus in Ksuvah, also on Daf Nun Aleph. What Taisus shows from the Gemara. The Gemara seems to be treating Yerusha as Issa v'heta rather than treating it like Dina Mamanis. And you can't make any takana you want in Yerusha and say Hefke Bezna Hefke. From the Gemara would appear that Hefke Bezna Hefke doesn't solve the problem by Yerusha. So these are the two reasons why the Marit Tzahalon only writes his one reason. He says he was sent as a shliach to the Jews who lived in the neighboring Arab communities bordering on Eretz Israel, that he should tell them they're not allowed to follow Dina Machus and Yerusha because all the parties involved are Jewish, and the Chubas HaRashbos is quoted in Chash Mishpat that Dina Machusa doesn't apply. And another explanation why is because Taisus and the Rambam both write that we treat Yerusha as if it were Issa v'heta. Yeah. So what's in our Gemara getting back again? The Gemara here points out the Mishnah seems to say Kol Ashtar Sa'al Makosh and Achmar acceptable except for Gitin Nashim Shachur Avon because you need Ksiva L'shma and the Eidim Apostle and so on, all the four reasons that Taisus gave. So the Gemara says, Kapasik Vatani, all shtaris are acceptable, even a shtar matan. How can it be a shtar matan is acceptable? Shouldn't it be a chaspa b'yalma? What exactly is the kasha? Shouldn't it be a chaspa b'yalma? So we mentioned earlier, chaspa b'yalma sounds like it's utterly meaningless, utterly worthless. Chaspa b'yalma, mamish, nothing. Why is it utterly nothing? Why is it utterly no good at all? There is no requirement for ksiba l'shma by shtari mamon. So what's so bad if the shtar is, if the din would be like Rav Meir, that you need eidei chasima in order that a shtar should function as a shtar kinyan, just like a shtar raya needs eidei chasima. So a shtar kinyan needs eidei chasima. And these shtars are the makosh anochim, achos mehim of the kochavim. So then I understand why the Gemara says it's chas b'biyam. I understand why it's chas b'biyam. But if you hold wheat pasuk like Rav Lazar, so Rav Lazar holds that Eidi Mesira Karsi, so you don't need Eidi Chasima. Even if you have pasuk Eidi Chasima, it's only a psul de Rabbanon, a mezuyif mitoichai. So what does the Gemara say? It's utterly ridiculous. If you have a shtar matana, oila barkosh al nochrim, signed by the Nachum is utterly meaningless. It's chaspa b'am. Why is it utterly meaningless? So Taisa said that's what it means. The long Taisa is chaspa b'am. Taisa said that's what it means, that it's mezuyif mitoicha. So the Taisa B'harash says, I find that hard to believe. Chaspa b'alma means that it's only mezuyif mitoicha. Mezuyif mitoicha is only agzera derabbanan. Chaspa b'alma sounds like such a strong statement. It's utterly meaningless, utterly worthless. Why is it only worthless? Min haTorah it is good. It's only no good mederabbanan. You had it. What's the simple pshat in the Gemara? Simple pshat in the Gemara is chaspa b'alma. If the Mishnah goes like Rab Meir, that Edi Hasima Karsi says chaspa b'alma. So the Tzoyse asks, and why is that utterly ridiculous? Why is that absolutely meaningless? We had Shitas Rashi before. That Rashi sounds like he says that the only reason why Nachum Apostolatus is in the area of Gittin Mikidushin. Whoever is Eina B'Torah, a certain area, is Apostolatus in that area. But indeed, in Hominis, Rashi sounds like he holds the Nachum would be Kosholatus. That was the Mashmos and Rashi on Tesam and Beis. That's what the Hagos Oshri on the side of the Rosh quoted from one of the Rishonim, the Sefer HaChokhmah. It's based on the Rashi, that Nochem HaKoshel Eidus, really. So what was the Gemara's Kasha, Chaspa B'Yamash? Adarab, should be Kasha. According to Rashi Shita, should be Kasha. What was the Gemara's Kasha, Chaspa B'Yamash? Should really be Kasha. So the Tzoy Sacheshin comes to save Rashi. It's a strange, we don't really hold like this Rashi. This strange Rashi with the Sefer HaChokhma, that Nochem are only Pasal Eidus in the area of Gittin Gedushin, in the area where the Eina B'Toyros. But in the area of Dinah Mamanis, Nochem would be Kosholatus, unless they're Ganovim. If you have a Jew who's a Ganov, he's also Posholatus. If you have a Nochri who's dishonest in business, if you have a Nochri who violates the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, so he's Posholatus, just like if you have a Jew who violates the Mitzvahs Atoris Posholatus. But why do you assume over here that they're a violation of the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach? So the Tzoyse says, there is a Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, in Bava Basra and in Kiddushin in the first parak, where the Rabbeinu Tam is of the opinion that when you sell karka to a Nochri, when you buy from a Nochri and sell karka from a Nochri, Kinyan Shtar doesn't work. You have to have Davke Kinyan Kesel. Kinyan Shtar doesn't work. The Gemara has such a lotion in Kiddushin in the first parak. Ma'ala Nochri, she came kol kinyana b'kesef. So as many kol kinyana b'kesef. So the Rabbeinu Tam says if a Nochri wants to sell a field or buy a field, Kinyan Shtar doesn't work. That's how he interprets a Gemara in the end of Cheskes Habat. Kinyan Shtar doesn't work by not. So the Tzoy says that just like a Nochri is possible le'edus by Gittin Kiddushin, because Zayin B'Torah is Gittin Kiddushin. La b'nei krisis ninu. The Gemara says la b'nei krisis ninu. So Tosis writes the bottom. Tosis at Yunim and Beis. Havimotzel le'mifrach la b'nei edus ninu. That's what Tosis writes. That's Tosis l'shitosim on the top of Tesam and Beis. But according to Rashi, the Gemara is very meduik. No, Nochri is kosher leidus. The only place where he's possible leidus is in Gerishim, because Labanei Krisis Nino, Nochrim don't have Gerishim Biksav. They have the Raman Paskins like that opinion in Yerushalmi. The Nochrim have Gerishim, but it's not Biksav. Either the husband tells the wife goodbye and good luck, nice knowing you, or the wife can initiate the divorce. She'll say to the husband, nice knowing you, I don't want to be married anymore, and that makes the Gerishim. But they don't have the Gerishim Biksav. So therefore, Nochrim are possible leidus. When it comes to a get, so what the Nami, according to this Rabbeinu Tam, that's what the Tzoy says, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that Nochrim don't have a Kinyan Shtar, so Nochri would be possible the Eidus when it comes to signing a Shtar Maton. Acharifus. That's what the Tzoy suggests to defend Rashi. Rashi on the previous daf holds and Nochem HaKoshel Eidus. The only time the Apostle Eidus is in Gerish and Lab and Ekrisis Ninu. So over here, why does the Gemara say Chaspa B'Yalma should be a Kosher Eshtar? The Nochem should be Koshel Eidus over here. So he says not, because Nochem don't have a Ginyan Eshtar. So it's also Ein of a Teres. Yeah, but most of the Rishonim don't hold like that. Most of the Rishonim hold that the Nochem are absolutely Apostle Eidus. But still, why does the Gemara hold Chaspa B'Yalma? What does it mean, Chaspa B'Yalmo? L'chor, the kasha only makes sense if you hold like Rav Meir. Rav Meir holds Eidei Chasima Karasi. So the Gemara thought that the Sefer, Rav Shimon, I'm Afelik Shem, L'huskel, L'zman, Shanasa, V'hedyot, Afelik Shem goes on Kitanosh, V'shachuri Avodim, and the Gemara explains, you are Rav Shimon, L'shitos, Rav Lozer. Rav Shimon holds like Rav Lozer, Eidei Mesira Karasi, so you give over the Shtashicha Rebbe K'nani, or the Getisha, in the presence of Eidim Mitzrayim. Why does the Tanakhama disagree? So the Pashtus is the Tanakhama is Reb Meir. That's exactly what Machlokes are. Meir Ablos, the Tanakhama holds Eidim Chasim Akars. That's the Pashtus. So that's what the Gemara's Kasha was. Haishtar Chaspe Bialmahu, the Eidim Apostolatus. That's Alpi Pashtus, that was the Kasha. So Rashi is bothered with a problem. Why can't we say the Tanakhama and Reb Shimon both agree to Reb Lozer, and they just argue, what's the din, whether you make Gzera the Rabbanim by Sheamus Mufokin, what to Sheamus Mufokin? So Rashi says that's a doichik. So Tosfos says, what do you mean a doichik? But that was Maskanas HaGemar before. A doichik, kind doichik Gemar. That was the pshat that the Gemar gave in this Mishnah. So what does Rashi say that it's a doichik? So Tosfos is trying to fish around. How then are you going to learn? So Tosfos says, no. Chaspa B'Yalma means that it's Mizuyif Mitoich. When you have Chasmei Ma'arim, it's Mizuyif Mitoich. So the Tosfos Arush finds that shver. What do you mean? Mizuyif Mitoich is Agzera de Rabbanon. Chaspa B'Yalma sounds like it's utterly ridiculous. Why is it utterly no good? The Gemara had a svar before that Mizuyif Mitoich of Chasmei Ma'arim doesn't apply to Shtori Momin. We had the Gemara Sanhedrin that does apply to Kravim who signed the Shtar, but not Akum who signed the Shtar. So it's such a dava pasha ardaf on Yudam and Beis. It's such a dava bara that the mizuyif mitoicha chasmei makom even applies to shorim matona ad kedei kach. The Gemara is the kasha chaspa b'yalma. That's where the Tosfos Rosh finds it very very shver. The Gemara's kasha. Why was it so obvious that mizuyif mitoicha of chasmei makom should apply to shtori signed by Nochem? So Tosfos has that. So these are two pshatim. One pshat is Chaspa Bialma because the Tanakam is Reb Meir. And Reb Meir holds it to Eidi Chasima, because you have to have kosher Eidi Chasima. Or Tosfos says Chaspa Bialma because it's Mizuif Mitoich, even if the whole Tanakam is like Reb Loza, but it's Mizuif Mitoich, Chasmei Amach. Okay, Farfal, these are the two pshat. So then Tosfos alludes to a third pshat on the third wide line in the Tosfos. Avalein Loima, you shouldn't say the following pshat. So the Maram on the bottom of the Marsha says, I don't know what in the world, what are they driving at? What is Tosfos trying to say? What's the ultimate, what's the third pshat that they're not happy with? So he says, Vitzachi, he doesn't know what in the world Tosfos is driving at. So you look in the Tosfos HaRosh, so they elaborate a little bit more. It's a psamachudish dik pshat. Pashtus says that it's very difficult. We had discussed the Gemara that appears on Mem Hayam in base, where the Gemara says, Ukshartam Lios al Yadecha, Uksaft Mam Ziz Besech Visharecha, Smuchim, one pasuk next to the other in Parsha Shema. So the Gemara says, "Kol sheyesh the mikshira, yesh the miksiva. Kol sheyne mikshira, ain't a miksiva." That women or nochrim who don't have the mitzvah of hanachas tefillin are possible for ksivas mezuzah. Kol sheyesh. So the Rabbi and Tam over there expanded it. He said, "You shouldn't think that it's only xeris hakosav over here. No, it applies in many other areas." So he says that women are potter from the mitzvah. Tzitzis, a woman is possible for tying tzitzis. Woman cannot tie tzitzis. That's mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. Yeshamim, there is such an opinion. Yeshamim, there is such an opinion. Rabbi Akiva Eiger, on the side of the page, in the Hilchas Tzitzis, quotes from the Sefer Panim Yafis. Must have come out just at that time. Panim Yafis is by the Hafloah on Chumash. He has Tilpulim on Chumash. That was a contemporary of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. That was the Rebbe of the Chasam Sefer. Chasam Sefer was the son-in-law of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Almost the same age as his father-in-law. So the Hafloah was the Rav in Frankfurt. Zachsidisha, he was the Rav in Frankfurt. So he has a remez to show against the Rabbeinu Tam that the Parsha of Tzitzis starts off by Yom Rasham Moshe Lemar, Daber al Bnei Yisrael v'yamartu aleihem. Which is it? Daber al Bnei Yisrael, usually Dibur is kosher. V'yamartu aleihem is Dibur, is Amira Rako. It says, Kosaymar Lebeis Yankiv is Saged Lebnei Yisrael. So Rashi quotes from the Mechilta, Kosaymar Lebeis Yankiv to the women, speak Baloshan Raka. The Sagil of Bnei Yisrael, Dvarim HaKoshim Kigidu. So here also, Daber al Bnei Yisrael, Dibur is Aloshan Koshim, then it's Vemart Aleim, Aloshan Raka. So the Hafloah has an interpretation. Daber al Bnei Yisrael, tell the men, Vemart Aleim, that they should tell their wives, that the wives should tie the tzitzis on their garments. So he says, Arem is in the Pasuk against the Rabbeinu Tam, that the women are Koshim for Kshiras at tzitzis. Rabbi Kedege quotes this, because the main sheet in Tesis, the main sheet then, the Shulchan Aruch, is against this Rabbeinu Tam, because the Balei HaTos don't accept it. And then they say, V'yeshomim, there's a minority opinion, this Rabbeinu Tam, V'yeshomim, that a woman is puzzle for Kshiras Atzit. Then the Rabbeinu Tam holds also, a woman is puzzle for Agidas Halula, a woman is puzzle for making the Eged, on the lulav, because women are potter from the mitzvah lulav, so the puzzle for the eged, for making the eged of the lulav. So this, so the Abin Tam expanded it. He holds that it's a din and kol ha-tar kula. Whenever you have to make an object, whenever the halacha requires asiyas ha-chefetz, so whoever is ainah b'toras, that chefetz is not b'toras, cannot do asiyas ha-chefetz. So the Tosfos gives a suggestion that since B'nai Noach don't have the Kenyan Shtar, starts off the same as the Ketos HaChoshen. The Ketos HaChoshen said something that does make sense. The Tosfos HaRosh, the Sheet and Tosfos is a Malam HaSogas Bani Adam. We don't understand what he's talking about over here. The Ketos HaChoshen said that since by the Nochrim, Kenyan Shtar doesn't work to be Kenyan Karka, there have been a Tam Sheetah, so therefore a Nochri is postulatus. Whoever is Ainah B'Torah is something, is postulatus in that area. That was the Gemara we had in Bava Basra, that Tanim Absulim Laedus, because there ain't a Bitaris Mecca Chamemka. The Gemara had a Havamina till the age of 20. He shouldn't be able to be Koshulatus on Karka because Limka Benichsa Yaviv, he has to be 20 years old. The Gemara said, no, but he can sell Karka. If he himself bought the Karka, he can sell it before the age of 20. Limka Benichsa Yaviv. If he got Karka Birusha, he can't sell till the age of 20. So he can't say that a child who's 15 years old passed by mitzvah and he's not yet 20. Is ain't a b'toras mechiras karka. He is b'toras mechiras karka. He can't sell karka that he got birusha. So you see from the Gemara, however, ain't a b'toras a certain area is not kosher ladies in that area. So that's how the Ketosh read the Gemara. That the Gemara was asking, chaspa b'almahu nochrim who would usually be kosher ladies according to Rashi, but here they'd be posel ladies because there ain't a b'toras kinyan shtar. Okay, that's how the Ketosh said. So now the Balei HaTosfos have a different interpretation. That since the Rabbi Tam says in Kiddushin and the Cheskes Habatim, the Nochrim don't have a Kenyan Shtar, so therefore, based on the Rabbi Tam, on the Mehera base, a Nochri who writes a Shtar Mechira, the whole Shtar Mechira is possible. Because whoever Zeinu B'Torahs cannot create a Heftze in that area. So this is a Pella. What do you mean? Whoever Zeinu B'Torahs, Tosfos has Tekashi against the Rabbi Tam on the Mehera base. The Gemara said before, Sukkas Noshim is Kosher. If a woman makes a sukkah, the sukkah is good. So how can the Rabbi Tam say that whenever a person is ainah b'toras, he can't create a heftzah? How come women can make a sukkah? So we said the Ksav Sefer answered, and the Mishkan is Yankiv, they answered, no, the Rabbi Tam only meant to say whenever you need lishma. Whoever is ainah b'toras cannot create lishma. But in Shtori Mamon, you don't need ksiv lishma. So what will be the kasha? So this, obviously, this Tosfos HaRosh and this Shita, Avalein Loima, this Shita that Tosfos is suggesting, is not holding like that answer that the Achrona gave. They took the Rabbi Tam Kipshuto. Whenever a person is ainah b'toras a certain area, so he cannot create, he cannot make that heftze. But the question still is, what do you mean he can't create a shtar? And if a monkey writes a shtar, it's no good. If the shtar falls down from heaven, it's no good. Who says that there is a requirement? Is there a din of tasav alayim and asay? By a shtar kinyan, by shtar for karka, is there a din of asiya? You have to have, it should say what the sipur amais is, and you give it over to the other party, and he's kind of, why should, how can you pass a goy for asiya sashtar, it's a pele de geshita. But that's how the Tosfos HaRosh writes the pshat, and then he prefers that pshat, he likes that pshat better than what Tosfos said. Vaymari, the Rebala Tosfos said, that chaspa b'alma means mezuyif mitoichoi. So the Tosfos HaRosh Tainus, Mizuv Mitecha sounds like it's no good. Mizuv Mitecha is only a Gzera de Rabbanon. Chaspa Miyama sounds like it's utterly no good, absolutely no good at all. So he says, when the Losh and the Gemara wouldn't appear like the Re. So he's night the more to this other Pshat. It's a very strange Pshat. That you hold the Nochri Zaina Bataras Kinyan Shtar. So therefore, there's Nochri is not right to write the Shtar Kinyan. What do you mean? How can they absul on writing a shtar kinyan a moment? You don't need ksiva lishma. You don't need ksiva. It's a hechetimtza. It has to say what you want it to say. I'm chudish diket pshat. Here, what are the Gemara? The Gemara had two versions over here, whether you apply din and machus din or not. So the second version was you don't apply. Why does anybody disagree? What happened to din and machus din? So the answer is, we're not talking over here about taxes. We're talking about the government instituted chukim and mishpatim. The government instituted their laws. So the government says that if the arkos write a shtar, that's considered a shtar matana. That's a valid shtar. No, according to the chosh mishpat, it's not a valid shtar. Who's selling the karka from one to the other? Here, a shtar matana that we're talking about, who's selling? So Rashi writes, a Jew is selling to another Jew. A Jew is selling to another Jew. So the Chuvas HaRashba says that we follow Chosh Mishpat. We don't follow Din and Machusa. So we understand very well why the second Ibai Sema was Tani, you should correct the Girsa Chutzmi Gigite Noshim. Hashtam Antan is no good, because whenever all the parties involved are Jewish, we don't follow Dina Machus Adina. So in fact, we don't understand what was the first version. How did the Gemara have the first suggestion that you do follow Dina Machusa? The both parties involved over here are Jewish. How does Dina Machusa apply? So there's a long Arichas in the Chazanish, in the end of the Sefer Chosh Mishpan, and the Likutim, where he has a whole discussion based on Rabbeinu Yonah and Baba Basra. Rabbeinu Yonah, the Sefer Rabbeinu Yonah is called the Aliyas the Rabbeinu Yonah. It has nothing to do with the addicts, Aliyas, but he always, at the end of every sugya, he writes, Hadorim Ho'ilam Metoch HaSugya. Ho'ilam Metoch HaSugya means the conclusion, the maskonas are. Like the Ralbag on Tanakh is called To'aliyas HaRalbag, because he always writes the To'elus HaYotze, what's the moral of the story? So every story in Tanakh, he gives you 20 morals of the story. What do you learn? What ethical principles? What laws do you learn from here? So the Rabbeinu Yonah also, that's his style. At the end of every sugya, he always writes, Ho'ila mitoch ha-sugya, what's the maskon? So the Rabbeinu Yonah writes in the Aliyas Rabbeinu Yonah like this. The Chazon Ish elaborates on it. He says, when you have two Jewish parties, all the parties involved are Jewish, so we don't apply dina machus dina. We apply Chosh Mishpa, but what happens if the two Jews went to secular court? They weren't allowed to go to secular court. They're a violation of Arkoyas. Eilam Shpatim Shetasim Lefneim, Lefneim Lo Lefnei Arkoyas. They went ahead to the secular court, and the judge gave a decision. So the judge gave a decision, so they violated the Naveir going to Arkoyas. But if the judge already gave a psak, so that's it. Just like by us, there is a rule that Hefker Bezna Hefker, so too there is a rule of Dina Namachus Dina. If the court gave a decision on your case, not stam in abstract, that the Goyish legal system says that the karka belongs to you. We're not talking about abstract. No. The poel mamish, the judge paskin on your case that you have to pay him the money. So that's why the first Lashon in the Gemara held that shtaris olam arkoshal nochrim, if they have the shtar matona on the karka, was signed, sealed, and delivered by the court, that's the equivalent of having the judge paskin on this case particularly, that the karka now belongs to the Mekabel Matana. But the Chazon Ish writes, based on Chosh Mishma, he says, two Jews are not allowed to go to the secular court. That's a violation of the Din Lefneim, Eilam Mishpatim Shtashim Lefneim, Lefneim Lo Lefnei Arkoyas. What if they went to the Arkoyas? So, let's say, I wanted to go to Arkoyas, and you didn't want to go. You wanted to go to Din Torah. I go to Arkoyas and I win. So sometimes they'll say Chosh Mishma, but that Bezdin will penalize me because I was the one who pressured you to go to a secular court and I did wrong. So they'll penalize me and say that I lose all the money. I'm not entitled, even though according to Halach I was entitled to that money, but because I went ahead Shaloi Kedin, so the Bezdin may decide to penalize me. What if both of us decided we want to go to our course? So what are you going to penalize me more than the other guy? We both did wrong. So maybe they should penalize, maybe they shouldn't penalize. So that the Chazon Ish says that's what the Gemara is talking about. It's the first opinion of the Gemara, Dina Machus Adina, means just like we have a Dina of Hefker, Bezna Hefker. If the Bezin declares your money is Hefker, so be it. So if the judge declared that this karka now belongs to the Mekabel Matana, so be it. And the second opinion in the Gemara was, no, they didn't come for a Sichso. When do you apply Dina Machus if the court paskined, if they went for a decision? They didn't go for a decision. We both appear in court and I say, I want to sell him the soda. So the judge says, fill out the documents and 1, 2, 3, and we'll approve the sale of the soda. So it's not that there was a sich-sich between two parties and the judge bangs down the gavel and he says, by order of the court, based on the legal system of America, psak is like this. Not a shayla of a psak, they just filled out the documents. So the second opinion holds that that's not called, that's not considered as if the judge paskin b'miuchan on your case. They didn't come for a decision on the case. So the Chazon Ish likes this Rabbeinu Yonah, that was the machlokes in the Gemara. Everybody knows there's a din or din machusa, and everybody knows din machusa doesn't apply whenever all the parties involved are Jewish. And everybody knows that if the judge gave a decision on the case, so then the psak of the judge is binding. Just like we have a koyach of hefke bezne hefke, so they have a koyach of din machusa to apply their law, even though their law shouldn't apply. Even though the law of the land should not apply whenever all the parties involved are Jewish. But if they said, we hereby declare this is the psak, so the law now applies. The machlokes, the two lashonos in Gemara were whether this case is the equivalent of the judge giving a psak or no. They didn't come for a decision. There was no sichsach over here. This aspect of Dina de Malchusa Dina, that if the judge gives a psak in the case, that he has a, even if it's even if it doesn't correspond to Jewish law, once he gives the psak, it's like we would have said Hefker Bezen Hefker. So this is along the lines of what the first tshuva in the Dvar Avram develops, the whole notion that by us we have a din of Hefker Bezen Hefker. That's really a branch of Dina de Malchusa Dina. The main din is that the government has a right to mafkia mamon. The government has a right. The malchus has a right to be mafkia mamon. So if it's kedin, if there's a reasonable, if there's a good reason why they want to make a highway over here, so they tell you remove your apartment building over here, remove your store, and we'll pay you a reasonable amount for your store. So that's dina malchus dina. So the hefker bezen hefker is a branch of applying dina malchus dina. So again, so that's the club. Whenever all the parties involved in Jewish, then we don't apply dina machus dina. We don't say that secular law applies. We say the dina of the chashim mishpat apply. The shach and the chashim mishpat has two exceptions to the rule. One he writes on his own, and one he quotes from Rishonim, from Baalei HaTez. And one he writes on his own is, what if the halacha has nothing to say about this case? Once in a while, the shach says you have a case, but the halacha has nothing to say. So whenever the halacha has nothing to say, then we follow dina machus. It's not in contradiction to the Chosha Mishpat. The Chazon Ish writes on that, it doesn't exist. Where is there a case but the halacha has nothing to say? On an internet sale. The halacha doesn't say a word about an internet sale. Of course the halacha doesn't say. You have to figure out. You have to be Medama Milsa Milsa to figure out which Sif and Shulchan Aruch applies to an internet sale. Or is selling stocks or bonds or buying short or long or whatever they do there. You have to figure out which Sif and Shulchan Aruch. You're not going to find your case exactly. You don't find every single case discussed in the Chosha Mishpat. But it cannot be that a case is not covered by the Chosha Mishpat. Either if it's not covered, it means you're patur. If it is, if you're medama to another case, it means that you're chay. Either the Chazon Ish is masik on the shach, it doesn't exist. There is no such case that the halacha has nothing to say. The other exception to the rule, that the shach quoted from the Baalei HaTosfos on the Mordechai, in Bava Kamma, in different Mesichtas, the Mordechai has that from different Baalei HaTosfos, that what if a Jew is in business and he deals with Jews and non-Jews. So whenever he deals with the non-Jews, then the din of machus applies. How soon they have to pay, and what if it's damaged merchandise, when he's entitled to a refund, and so on and so forth, whatever the rules and regulations, whatever issues come up. So whenever a business deal is made and one party is non-Jewish, then even if they go to a Jewish court, the Jewish court has to pass on according to din of machus. Thus the Nochri is an Oibed Avod Azar, then we're out to get him, so then we pass him whichever legal system will be in favor of the Jew. But if he's not an Oibed Avod Azar, a nice Nochri, like a Ger Toshev, so then you follow Dina Machusa. Dina Machusa applies automatically. So the Rishonim said, if a person is in business and he deals with non-Jews all the time, and he always has in mind, he's going to follow Dina Machusa, that's the law. So even when he deals with the Jews, even though he doesn't say explicitly, I want the conditions of the sale to be according to the Dina Machusa, if he would have said explicitly, I'm selling you this merchandise, or I'm doing the work for you, on the understanding that we're going to follow secular law. So if he makes such a clause in advance, call Tanai Shem B'mamen Kain, you can make any condition you want when it comes to Dina Mamen. It's Master Masha Kasa Batar B'dav Shem B'mamen is Tanai Kain, the Tanai is valid. So if he would have made such a Tanai in advance, it would have been good. So even though he never made such a Tanai, but he deals all day in business with non-Jews. So even, and when he's dealing with the non-Jews, it's obvious that he's following Dina the Machusa. That's Takad Aloha. So even when he deals with the Jews in business, it's an umdene that hakol ke minin kam dina. Since the minin kam dina is that they follow Dina the Machusa, so it's considered ki'ilu hisnu. Whenever a Tanai would have helped, let's say, for example, there's a Mishnah in Hasecheres HaUmnim, I think, Hasecheres HaPoelim, the first Mishnah, that the workers are mechuyev to pay, workers are mechuyev to work from Alos HaShachar till Tzeis HaKochavim. So let's say I hire a worker, and I agree I'm going to pay him $2,000 a week, and he works the whole week, and he goes from 9 to 5, and at the end of the week he wants his $2,000. I say, what do you mean? But it says in the Mishnah, he's supposed to work from Alos HaShachar till Tzeis HaKochavim. So he says, I've never heard of it. I say it says in Baruch Nafshi, Gemara learns it after the pasuk in Baruch Nafshi. Yet Yad Mafalo v'Lavadosa Yadur. I got to work for my Lord Hashachar. I said, what are you crazy? Nobody works for my Lord Hashachar. The minhag kamdina is everybody works from 9 to 5 or whatever the minhag kamdina is, and you have off from 12 to 1. So the Mishnah says Hakol minhag kamdina. Why is Hakol minhag kamdina? Because if they would have made it Tanai in advance, I want you to work from 12 o'clock in the afternoon until 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm going to pay you $2,000. So if I said in advance what the hours are, and then you should get paid $2,000 a week, so good. So whatever Tanai you make is good. So even though you never made it Tanai, but since the Minhag HaMedina is all the people who work from 9 to 5, so that's whatever the Minhag HaMedina is considered Kila Hisnu. And if they would have made it Tanai, the Tanai would have been binding. So it becomes, that's the halacha now. That's the halacha now requires that you must follow the Dina de Malchusa. Because since that's a Minhag HaMedina, it's considered Kila Hisnu.
I didn't ask how much
Masna Mashkas about Torah B'Dovish Imamim is Kayim. You have a right to make such a Tanai, and the Tanai is binding. So they're not allowed to go to our courts. They're not allowed to go to secular court. They have to go to a Jewish court. But when they go to the Jewish court, the Jewish Dayanim have to pass according to the secular law. Even though they never said explicitly when they started the contract that we're going to follow secular law. But the Minhag HaMedina is that everybody follows secular law because you're dealing with Jews and non-Jews. So when you deal with the non-Jews, you're certainly following secular law. So the Mela, the Minhag is that even when you deal with Jews, you follow secular law. And even though we never expressly said so, our cult Minhag HaMedina accomplishes that it's considered Kila Hisnu. Considered Kila Hisnu.
But if the case is that even if you're only dealing with Jews, you follow Minhag HaMedina, so what's the difference between why would someone can always claim it's Minhag HaMedina and you wouldn't have to follow Din Torah, but you could go to Erekos?
To go to our courts is a separate issue. You have to go dafke to a Jewish court. But the Jewish court sometimes is mechuyev al pidin to follow secular law.
But wouldn't it be every time it would have to? Because you could claim on everything that you go according to secular law.
Okay. Unless it's a hesed. Let's say a guy stole $1 million from someone else. So what's the tanai? It's not sure I have to make any tanai. So the dina mechosh mishpat, how much the ganav has to pay. Then there are secular laws, how much the ganav has to pay. When it comes to geneva, hezek, I crashed into your car, I made a hezek or something. When it comes to hezek, there is no hischaibis moment that we entered into midas that you can say it's kilu histon as if he made it tonight. Mazik and chayvel and ganav, they're a dinim in the Torah. So whatever the dinim are, that's what you follow. But if it's a business contract, employment or merchandise was sold or something like that, so then if you would have made it Tanai on the Mechira or on the employment, so then you could have made any Tanai once, even if you didn't make it Tanai, but that's the common Minhag. So then you follow the Minhag HaMedina. The Minhag HaMedina becomes the Din. That's what the Chazon Ish writes. You have to go to a Jewish Beis Din, but the Beis Din is Mechuyev al pi Din Torah to follow secular law. See, when it comes for a Din Torah here, sometimes to YU, so we follow this Chazon Ish. So in Williamsburg, they say only college educated, only people whose minds were poisoned by going to university would come up with such a crazy idea. Chazon Ish's one came up with a crazy idea. He was really university. He was really clean shaven. Behind the beard, he was really clean shaven. That's what it says in Chosh Mishpat. That's what the Shach says. They don't know. That's the Shach quotes it from the Mordechai. Mordechai quotes it from the Bali HaTosfos. That's what it says. I call Minhag HaMedina. Whenever you have a clear cut Minhag HaMedina, it's considered Kila Hisnu. As if he made it Tanai in advance. And call Tanai Shem Imam in this guy. Every Tanai is binding. So the Gemara continues to discuss Reb Shimon. Shimon says that a get the isha is good. If it's signed by the Akkois, how can it be good? It's Shalom Lishma and the Apostolate is all the whole works. Taisus gives all the four reasons why it's not good. The Gemara says, no, Yod Rab Shimon, the Shitas of Shor Rab Loza. Shimon holds like Rab Loza, that they the Mesira Karsi. Aye, but we have a Chumra mid the Rabban and Mizif mid Toichas, of Chasmei Makam should be no good. The Gemara says, oh, Rab Shimon is Machshir. Whenever it's Shemus Mufakim, the whole reason for the Gzera de Rabbanon, if Chosmei HaMakum, if it's a Mizuif Mitecha, it's a Chumra Mid Rabbanon, not a Din Min HaTorah. It's because of the Chashash Dil Masi L'Mismach Alayu, L'Mem Sirinu B'Apayhu, to use the same 280 Chasima as Edim Mesira. But if it's Shemus Mufakim, obviously Goyish and Names, everybody knows that the Goyim Apostle is over here. So Reb Shimon holds that here the Chumra Mid Rabbanon of Mizuif Mitecha would not apply. And then the Gemara explained that the Tanakama doesn't necessarily have to represent Reb Meir Shita. It could be the Tanakama holds like Reb Lezer, Reb Lezer also. But the Tanakhama holds that he even goes to Shemus Mufokim or to Shemus Shemus Mufokim. So the Gemara goes ahead to have with a Tosefta, with more Xeris, details in the Xera. Okay. Details in the Xera. Okay, then we learned the Gemara on towards the bottom, 10 lines from the bottom of Yudalev and Olive. Rabina Savalach Shuei Beknufi Yosu Daramoy. He thought not only if the Shtar Havo was signed on the official stationery of the court, signed by the judges of the court, even if it's a location where they have a lot of goyim, they're not gonna pass on a lie. In public, they're gonna get caught with a lie. They would never do such a thing. So it's an umder in the muchach. It's a milsa da bereli gloy lo mishak v'inshi. They're not gonna tell a lie when everybody, you have 100 people standing around. They're not gonna sign a document that's a lie. And the Gemara says we don't pasken like that. Rafam tells him our koyes tanan. It's not true. Only our koyes we have the umder. The umder doesn't apply just because of knufi yosa, just because you have a lot of people were standing around. Only time there's an umdah in the muchach that it's so, either works min haTorah, min haRabbanan, whatever it is only by our kos. It's not our kos, it doesn't work. Then the Gemara talks about a shtar parso. Now, a shtar parso is written in Persian. So we had the Gemara lay the yutes on the base, but the Gemara says, shtar parso is acceptable in Maikam Ashmalon Tanina. It's a Mishnah later in the Masechta. The Gemara says, if the get is written in get sheksava ivris ve'edav yivanis, yivanis ve'edav ivris is kosher. Even though the get is written in one language and the chasimis are assigned in another language, that's acceptable. What if the get itself is written half in ivris and half in yivanis? So that's two girsis in the Tosefta. That's a machlokes, is the Rambam and the Ravid. The Rambam had a reading in the Tosefta that says that it's no good. And the Ravid writes, he thinks Girsim with Tastin is Damna Lobit Tosefta. He says that there's nothing wrong. So that's a machlokes is the Rambam and the Ravid. Is there a hemshach from one language to the other in the text of the get itself? In Ebenezer, the Ramos, we paskan l'chumr like the Rambam's Girsa, that a get that's written in two languages, there's no hemshach, has to be written, the whole get has to be written in one language. I, but all of our getting are written in half Hebrew and half Aramaic. So why isn't that, according to the Rambam, should be possible? That's a combination of two different languages. So the answer is that that's a third language. Like there's Yeshivish English. There's Yiddish, and there's English, and there's Yeshivish English. That's a new language. So this is Rabbinic Hebrew. Rabbinic Hebrew is like the Rashba writes. Half of it is Aramaic, and half of it is Hebrew. So that's Rabbinic Hebrew. So that's what the Ramah writes. That's a third language. That's acceptable. We are Machmeh for the Bechoshish for this Rambam. It says Megillas Esther. That's written in translation is good. If you're laying the Megillas Esther in translation, it's good. But what if half of the Megillas Esther is written in one language, half of the Megillas Esther is written in another language? Then the Mechabek quotes the Tshuvas Haran that that's not acceptable. That's based on this Rambam's Girsa and the Tosefta, that there's no blend, there's no hemshech between one language and the other. So pray tell, why is it good? The Mishnah says later, if the get is written in one language and the signature is on a different language, how come that's good? Are the signatures on another language? The answer is, the signatures don't have to be in any language at all. The Gemara says, Rav Tzia Kavra. Rav used to draw a picture of a fish. The chasimus of the Edom don't have to be written in any language. As long as it's, everybody knows that this means that I signed it. The minig usually was that people sign their name. So if you check my handwriting, you'll know that that's my signature. But strictly speaking, the Gemara says you can draw a picture and that'll also serve as your chasim. So that's not a taina. How can it be good? According to the Rambam's Tosefta, according to the Rambam's Girsa and the Tosefta, that a get that's nichta b'shtei l'shaynis is not acceptable. So how come if the get is written in one language, the chasimis are written in another language, how is there a hemshech between the chasimis I get and the chasimis? The answer is the chasimis don't have to be written in any language. The fact that you write in a language, mechit taisi, you want to write in a language, it just has to be a symbol. So that's not a kash. So the Gemara says, you see from that Mishnah that a shtar that's written in Parso is acceptable. So the truth of the matter is, it's not so clear from the Mishnah. There's room to dingzo. There was a minority opinion when we were learning the Gemara and Daf Chesam Beis. Kos v'mal avonu afila b'shabbos. Akonim sada b'suri kikonim b'pavari Yerushalayim v'maynaf kemina that you write to shtar amila nachri to write to shtar on Shabbos. So the Ramah in Hilcha Shabbos quoted an opinion from the Yozar Ruah that the reason why it's mutter to do Amir Liakim is because the Nochri is going to write, Bishar Lushan is going to write in Arabic, In writing in Arabic on Shabbos is only a malach of ksivim with the rabbanon, so it's a shuz b'makam mitzvah. Shuz the shuz b'makam mitzvah is always muta. We pass and it's always muta. Tosis thinks only muta b'makam mitzvah smila. But that's what the Ozarua writes. So where did he get such an ayin from? That if you write in Arabic, it's only an isa kaisim with the rabbanon, because he said the Mishnah only says that the get can be written in Ivris or in Yavanis. Other language, other scripts are not accepted. So that, the pashtus is that that's against the Gemara. The simple reading in the Gemara is on your test on the base. The Shtar Parsa is acceptable based on the Mishnah, that anything in any language is acceptable. If Yavanis is good and Ivris is good, so that means Parsa is also good. So that, per se, is not a problem. Hanardav. Shtar Parsa, the Master of Adab, inside of Israel, that per se is not a problem. The Shtar is written in Persian. Any script is acceptable. That'd be a shayla. How many people have to use that script that it should be recognized as a script? How many people have to use it? Let's say the same thing in a language. If you say Kriya Shma Ne'emeres B'chol Loshon, Kriya Shma can be recited in translation. How many people have to be alive today speaking that language? Let's say he's going to speak some ancient language from 3,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, that nobody today speaks. There are only 5 professors in the whole world that speak that. Is that considered a language? So that's Rav Avolo Soloveitchik writes. That's what he says. He's not sure. They have the shurim in the beginning of Nazir. Opening Mishnah knows that a person is mekabel ned and naziris. You have to be mekabel ned and naziris b'teh levatei b'svasayim. So you have to speak a language. How many people have to speak the language that it should be considered recognized as a language? Same thing. How many people have to use this alphabet, this script, that it should be recognized as a script? That's a room to question.
Isn't there a bir halacha? I think in the creation of naziris, the creation of another language. So you have to be in a place where that language is the accepted language.
Right. Right, that's a chiddush. There's a very big chiddush. Some rishonim say that b'feirish, and most do not agree with that. They say the Rabbi Hutner went specially to the Chavetz Chaim to argue with him on that. He didn't think that that made any sense. The Rashi rishonim say like that b'feirish on the Gemara, that if you're speaking, you're going to recite Kriya Shema in America in Spanish. That's the Tzfas HaMedina in Washington. Speak in English though. That's a shaila for Yotzei. Speak in French. Let's see. You'll say Kriya Shema in French in Washington Heights. So the Mishnah Berurah and the Bir Halacha comes up with Chiddush that that's not the accepted, that's not an accepted language in this country. That's a shaila whether that's so or not. But even if you assume it's not so, how many people have to speak the language that it should be considered, that it should be recognized as a language? So this the Gemara doesn't consider a problem. The fact that the Shtar is written in Persian, that's not a problem. But the Gemara says, shaila, the Shtar Halvod that's written in Persian, you can only collect from the Chosim and Echorin. Not to collect from the Chosim Shabbat. So that we have to figure out why. Okay. Tomorrow we'll have to start from that Gemara. Yud Aleph Amar.